This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And last night, something very strange happened to me. And I'm going to tell you about that. It definitely makes the pet show, for sure, the Animal Party. A strange animal came into my house last night, and I had to deal with it. And it was not a party, but, you'll have to check it out. If you want to check it out while you're listening to the show, go to Dub Wolf, that's my name, D-E-B-W-O-L-F-E, Pet Expert, on Facebook. And you can see the live video of what happened last night in my house, on my farm, in British Columbia, in Canada. And, it was an interesting encounter. So I'll tell you about that later in the show. I got quite a lot of pet news for you today, including something sad, kind of strange. Trailer Park Boys actor Bubbles, who plays the part of Bubbles, Mike Smith, is appearing in court for sex assault charges. It's something that happened in 2017, so it's a long time from now, but that often happens. Victims come, you know, come to court later. But the sad part about this for me is he's one of the few people you see, one of the few characters you ever see in mainstream media dealing with cats. You never see cats on TV, in sitcoms or movies or anything. And Bubbles' character, he's called Bubbles because he loves to play with cats and make a bubble machine entertain them. And he's a pretty simplistic character, very lovable, likable, very strange, and very cat-friendly. So I'm sad to see that they're going to be cutting him out of the future Trailer Park Boys, at least for a while, until things settle. So hopefully they'll find somebody else who's a cat fanatic to put in his place. Because I do love the cat encounters on that show. Okay, so something else that was strange in the news is Tom Brady. Tom Brady has cloned his dog. Lua was the original. And in 2023, they took a blood sample. And he used the company Biotech, which is the same company, if you guys remember, that did the sheep called Dolly back in 1996. So Tom Brady got his dog Lua cloned, and the new dog is called Junie. I find this interesting on so many levels. I would love to meet the new dog if I'd met the old dog to see if they really are identical. And it's such a question of nature nurture. Like, for example, when I would deal with the family that had a golden retriever, I'm thinking of one family in particular, and they had a golden retriever for years and years and years, and they raised their kids were babies and grew up with this golden, and then the golden passed, and they got a new golden. Now, there wasn't really much different about the puppies. Same breeder, same lineage, they picked the same type of puppy. But the first one was good as gold. And the second one was so mischievous. So mischievous! Now, is that because they were different in nature? Or is it because the first household, which had little kids and strict rules and, people who wouldn't compromise, like no dogs allowed on the table, no dogs allowed to beg, no dogs allowed to knock the child over, right? Like very, very strict, easy rules to obey. And a place for the dog, below the children in priority, right? So that was what the first dog experienced, Golden Retriever, wants to please. The second dog comes into a home with teenagers who are breaking the rules and bending the rules and spoiling the dog, and the needs of the family have completely changed. So was that nature or nurture? If you'd switched dogs with this, with the first dog who was good as gold, been mischievous if it had been raised with the teenagers? I think probably. So it brings up all kinds of questions of nature and nurture, because I just love to figure out how different these two dogs are. And if you treat them the same, and how could you? How could you possibly? Well, I guess they're doing experiments where they control things like this, but I'd really like to know how much is nature and how much is nurture. And this is one of the few times you might be able to find that out. All right, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about some penguins. Yep, penguins. They need to retire. That's right. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I remember when I was 33, I was not ready to retire, but these penguins in New England, the oldest of which is 33, are ready to retire. So it's a funny story, but they're much older than they would be in the wild, and they've got all kinds of vision problems and issues, and so they've made them a little retirement home area with carpets and special goggles and all kinds of special things. So if you want to check this out, Lambert, New England, the retirement home for 7 aging penguins. It's absolutely adorable. All right. So I told you I had a strange visitor last night, and I sure did. If you want to see it, it's on Facebook, Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. And okay, so I come into my office last night. I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing a radio show tomorrow. I should organize my desk. I should get all my notes together and figure out what I'm going to say and the order. And I come into the office and I hear all these papers rustling and this kind of banging on the window. And I think, oh no, what have the cats brought in this time? It sounds really big. This is not good. So I move toward the window and it's a tiny little creature, about the size of a fist or a tennis ball when it's all tucked up. But spread out, it's a little bit bigger than that. Anyway, it was a northern pygmy owl. Northern pygmy owl. And I've seen them before. I've noticed them on fence posts. Sometimes in the winter in the pouring rain, you kind of glance, you feel like you're being watched, and you look around, and there's an owl on a fence post, little tiny guy. And I've even filmed them and posted them before, but I've never got this close. So there he was, trapped between my curtain and my window of my office, trying to get out, but there's a screen on the window, so I couldn't just open the window. So I was able to grab a towel, and whenever you're trying to rescue a bird of any kind, the best way to do it is to cover their eyes, is to cover them with a blanket or a towel, a really thick one if you've got one. But anyway, so I brought in a towel and I covered it, and I could see right away it wasn't struggling. Normally, I would keep it covered and hooded all the way until I'm ready to release it, because they have talons and they have beaks and they can hurt you. But this little guy was so calm. He was so sweet and gentle. And so I was able to uncover his face and give you a really good close-up of the beautiful white mask around his eyes. And at one point when I said to the camera, okay, well, we're going to let him go now, he almost winked. He blinked one eye like, okay, let me go. It was adorable. And so I was able to do the right thing, and probably my cats brought him in, but I'll never know. I mean, it's wintertime here, so everything's closed. So I don't know how he got in the house except for one of them bringing him in through the cat door. But I did release him and he flew away, and all that was great. And I was thinking, what a passive little animal to be such a predator. So I started researching him. And it turns out, I probably should have used a thicker blanket, and I probably shouldn't have uncovered his face, because they're among the most ferocious predators out there. It turns out these little pygmy owls bring down prey 2 and 3 times their size, even as big as chickens. And these guys are really tiny. You could hold them in one fist. But they bring down really big things. They bring down rats and mice. That's good. But they also have a real love. And this was disturbing. Of songbirds and hummingbirds. That's their favorite food. Well, now I know he was hanging around my house because I have a lot of songbirds and even in the winter, loads of hummingbirds. So I read more about him, and it turns out you're not supposed to go near them and you're not supposed to touch them. And if you are in a situation where you have to rescue them, you got to be really careful because they're supposed to be very aggressive. But this little guy really wasn't. He was super docile and gentle, and I almost wanted to stroke him, but I didn't. I resisted that because you never want to tame a wild animal. Took him outside as quickly as I could. But researching him a little bit, I find so many interesting facts about these owls. And one that I thought was really interesting is, well, first, they have this toot, toot, toot kind of a call that you'd probably mistake for a bird call because it's so high pitch. If you want to listen, you just Google Northern pygmy owl sound, and you can hear it. There's a great website from Cornell. There's another one from Canadian Audubon Society. But just Google that, and you'll be able to hear it. It's a toot, 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 toot. Sounds just like a bird. And when I heard it, I realized I've heard it a lot. Okay, so that was one interesting thing. But the easiest way to find them is not by listening for them, although if you've got a good ear and you can pick out that high-pitched toot, 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 they're the only bird or animal making that noise. So that's one way. Another way is like I was doing, look on the post, and if you see something round when it should be square, look more closely because that's a pygmy owl. So that's another way. But the third way, the most interesting way, is to watch for a songbird mobbing. Have you ever seen that? I sure have. When a whole bunch of songbirds seem really irritated, and they make a lot of noise and a lot of ruckus, and as a whole flock, they seem to dive bomb something. You've probably seen it with eagles. Crows will do this to eagles, and other birds will do it to crows. It's basically a defense. When you've got a predator trying to take your eggs, take your babies, prey in your nest, harass your population, sometimes if you're a little bird, you band together and you attack the predator and you chase it out. And that's what's going on. So if you're looking for these little adorable owls, check out what the songbirds are fussing over and you might just find one. And as you probably know, I like to troll TLC shows for the animal mistakes they make. I love it when they make mistakes. So one of the shows that you're probably familiar with is The Real Housewives. Real Housewives of this city, of that city, whatever. Okay. There's another show called Wife Swap. And for some reason, they've put these two together in what is a beautiful mess, honestly. And delicious, absolutely entertaining. If you ever want to see a spoiled socialite clean out a barn, or you want to see a down-to-earth person have to go through a day of photo shoots and preening for social media, this is delightful. So in one of the scenes, we've got a fancy, fancy woman who's confronted with notes from the other mom. And it basically tells her the big horse bites and the goats are cracked out. So here she is. She's this socialite from fancy, fancy place. And she's transported into this home. And she's now got to go look after a bunch of critters, including goats and horses. And the note instruction is, the big horse bites and the goats are cracked out. Okay, well, I can handle that, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how these housewives are going to fare with real live animals. Real live animals. Good luck. Now, that one in particular grew up on a farm, so she might do okay. But it's been a long time, so she might take a fall. We'll have to see on that. There was something else in the news that caught my eye at Halloween. And that was somebody's pet monkey escaped into one of those shops, you know, those pop-up shops that sell the Halloween paraphernalia, the costumes and the buzzy lights and the sound-triggered giants and monsters and stuff. Okay, so a monkey, speaking of cracked out, a monkey, pet monkey, escaped into a spirit Halloween. And I can only imagine what ensued. There's some video of it, but they had to turn everything off. They had to try and get all the things to stop wigging out because the monkey was reacting to all the sounds and the lights and everything, and he was jumping all over the place. And okay, if you haven't got the message from me before, a monkey is not a good pet for anybody. A baby monkey is adorable, and then they grow up and they go through puberty and they don't like being without a mate and a family, and they don't know how to deal with that, and they get very, very reactive and sometimes angry and sometimes violent. And sometimes they do things that you wouldn't expect, like escape into a Halloween store. So be very, very careful. If you want a pet monkey, I suggest you get something else, like a dog or a cat. If you need the attention that a monkey will get you when you walk it in public, well, maybe you want to dress up your dog or your cat. Maybe you want to teach it really cool tricks. That'll get you a lot of attention. A lot easier, I would say. All right, everybody, we're going to go to one more break and then a little bit more animal news today on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And I wanted to talk about something just a little interesting that happened here at Camp Good Dog. I was noticing, and I'm not sure I've commented on this before, but there's been a few times lately where I've noticed dogs who are staying here, new dogs, and they're a little insecure and they're not sure. And then all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, I get to run with no leash. Wait a minute, these people are really nice. They talk baby talk. They give me pets. Wait a minute, I get to do whatever I want and run and play. And this is a farm and I can get dirty and they don't care. They'll just clean me up. And what? Is this what I think it is? And you see the dog kind of figuring out, hey, my owner left me to go on a trip and they were sad and I was kind of bumped out. But now look where I am. I'm on a giant farm. This is my fantasy. It's a fenced in farm. I can run and play and I've got dog friends to play with and everything's great. Okay, so when the dog makes that little switch in its brain from I'm not so happy to, oh my God, this is fantastic, it often will sneeze, and sometimes sneeze several times. So you might see this with your own dog. Your dog thinks it's not going. You've told it, you know, no, I can't take you. I'm sorry. I'm too busy today. And it gives you those puppy eyes and you think, oh, okay, come get in the car. And your dog will sneeze like three times and get in the car. That's a mood change. And I love seeing that. I love seeing it and I love recognizing it when I'm working with training dogs, because sometimes a dog is shut down and then he'll sneeze a couple times and then he'll be like, okay, teach me something. It's like a total change, a total shift. I don't know why they do it, but it's definitely something to watch for. When your dog changes his mind or his mood or his attitude, he'll often sneeze. So look out for that. And let me know if you see your dog do that in a certain situation and you want to tell me about it, I'd love to hear about it. Deb@PetLifeRadio.com. In fact, if you've got a dog problem or a cat problem or something, you just a question, why does my cat do this? Why does my dog do this? Please ask me. If I can't answer, I'll get an expert who can. So something else that's kind of becoming popular And I was shocked to see it on the news because the part that shocked me was not what they're doing. It's in Chicago. A bunch of people go and they stand together at a specific time. They're doing this all over the world, actually. It's called scream therapy. So a bunch of strangers or friends or whatever, they stand all together and all in unison, they scream. They just 1, 2, 3, blah, and they all start screaming. And it's supposed to be very therapeutic. Some people scream for a long time. Some people stop and start again. Okay, they scream for a while, and then they all feel better. Scream therapy. But the thing that upset me about this is somebody took their dog, their tiny little dog in a harness, to scream therapy. Okay, your dog doesn't understand scream therapy. Your dog doesn't need scream therapy. Your dog wouldn't. And then don't bring your cat either. Animals, pets do not need scream therapy. They need to be left out of this nonsense. It may be good for you, but for them, especially the first few times, they're going to think there's humans panicking. It's going to make their heart race. They don't know that this is just therapy for you. This seems insane to them. And it will trigger all their emergency responses. It will flood them with stress. So even if you think you can do it a few times or do it at a distance and get your dog or cat used to it, which you probably could, why? You got to ask yourself why your dog or cat would rather skip this one, okay? Just skip the scream therapy for your pets. Do me a favor. Same for fireworks, same for parades, same for anywhere where there might be broken glass or garbage or food they can grab without you seeing. So that's any kind of crowded situation. They don't want to be stepped on. They don't want to be scared. They don't want to get injured. They want to be left at home. So please do that for me and for your pets. All right, everybody, from Deb Wolf from Animal Party and Pet Life Radio. Ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.